we're happy to welcome to the program a labor and employment attorney. He is the author of more than 20 books, including The Lifetime Legal Guide and the brand new book, Fired, Protect Your Rights and Fight Back If You're Terminated, Laid Off, Downsized, Restructured, Forced to Resign, or Quit. We welcome in Stephen Mitchell Sack. Stephen, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Rich, and thanks for having me.
Is it safe to say, Stephen, that most employees out there don't really have a good understanding of what their rights are under the law?
Most definitely. And I've been practicing labor and employment law for 42 years, believe it or not. I can't believe it myself. And I represent fired executives and employees, hundreds of them a year, generally with successful results, because they have rights. They just don't know how to, you know, assert them and fight back. And that's why I wrote the book.
What are some of the most common causes of wrongful termination?
Well, you know, not every firing is illegal, especially when you're laid off or downsizing or restructuring. They'll tell you that, you know, they have to let you go for financial reasons. What I want our listeners to know is that when you're fired in a situation like that, through no fault of your own, you should question whether or not you were about to receive a financial benefit. Like, suppose you're close to a vested pension or profit-sharing plan, or you work very hard to get a commission, and the customer is about to sign a $1 million order, and you would have gotten, let's say, 10% or $100,000, and now you're being terminated right before the customer signs on the dotted line. Or you worked the full year and you were expecting a bonus. I was on the phone just before with a client that is about to hire me, and she had been at the company for almost 10 years. And if she made it through the end of the year, she's entitled to a three-month sabbatical with pay. But they've terminated her on December 23rd, to deprive her of those 3 months. So that's something that we're going to address in negotiations when I speak to the company next week. So these are the kinds of things that I want everybody to understand. The firing itself may be legal, but do not allow the company to, you know, take away financial benefits like stock that you expect to vest soon. Do not allow the company to take that away from you just because you were fired.
Are there some signs that employees can be on the lookout for that might lead you to know that you're about to be fired?
Certainly. I would say situations like, let's say someone was your, like, rabbi, so to speak, or your priest. I use that word. In other words, that they brought you in, you worked under them, they really enjoyed working with you, you got good reviews, and then that person left the company, and a new person comes in who knows nothing about you, and all of a sudden you get a poor write-up. That's something to know, like, hey, you know, I guess things are changed around here because I'm not with a friendly supervisor. Or maybe they're taking off of an important campaign, or they're not allowing you to call on a certain customer or a territory like you used to. Or maybe they're asking you to train someone. I mean, in situations like that, or maybe you have a statement is made to you like, hey, Rich, you're not working the territory like you used to. You know, we need some younger blood around here. Well, you know, that could be certainly proof of age discrimination.
Of course, when people do get fired, it can be emotionally and obviously financially devastating. And is it that maybe keeps people from asking the right questions and getting themselves in a position to protect themselves when they're let go?
For sure. I mean, we know that when you're fired, it's horrible. And emotionally, it's horrible. But, you know, I look at it from a financial point of view. By being terminated, you know, how are you going to pay your mortgage or your health insurance premiums under COBRA? Or let's say you have a couple of kids in college. You know, it's going to put you on the road to financial ruin. And that's why I'm suggesting that everybody negotiate a package. So, see, what will happen, Rich, is that companies will lay you off, especially if you're a female, if you're a person of color, if you're pregnant, if you're in your 60s, let's say. They're going to offer you something. You know, we're not talking about you were punching someone out or stealing or not, you know, adequately calling a supervisor when you're out sick. I'm talking about situations when you're laid off, suddenly, through no fault of your own, like in a downsizing or restructuring, something like that, or, you know, a job elimination. And, you know, you've been there 10 years, and they may say to you, Rich, we're going to give you 10 weeks pay, you know, and 2 months of COBRA. Here, sign this severance agreement with a release in it. Now, they are expecting for you to just sign it willy-nilly, and they fired you suddenly, mostly, typically, because they want you to just bow your head and shuffle your feet out the door. But what you want to do is go back in and say, no, well, wait a minute, you know, you want to appeal to corporate decency and fair play. You don't want to threaten litigation. You want to say something like, you know, I have 2 kids in college. I have an expensive home in Bangor, Maine. I was here for 10 years. You fired me suddenly. I'm shocked by it. I'm 64 years old. It's going to take me a while to find gainful employment. And, you know, while I appreciate the 10 weeks after taxes, not a lot, I think I'm entitled to a month per year. I mean, that's what I recommend in the book that people ask for, 1 month per year. Now, they'll come back and probably give you 2 weeks per year. And so instead of getting 10 weeks, you get 20. I mean, it's better than nothing, right? And they'll give you maybe another 3 months of medical that they'll pay for. And you'll ask for a favorable letter of reference, which hopefully you'll get. And you'll ask for outplacement assistance and a lot of other benefits. And if you were fired right before, you know, you're supposed to get some valuable stock, well, you should ask for it. Maybe they'll accelerate the vesting and they'll give you that stock. So there's so many things to negotiate, and that's why I want people to just be aware that don't allow the company to just fire you and throw you out without you going back in and asking for a better package.
We're talking with Stephen Mitchell Sack. His new book is called Fired, and as you suggest in the book, yeah, take action, review that contract right away. And this is a great idea. Make sure you save everything, every communication, anything that might come in helpful to you later on.
So true. I mean, what people don't understand is, let's say you're female and you worked in a hostile, offensive working environment. You've been sexually harassed, maybe, or even you worked and you got less money, less pay than a similarly situated male colleague, right? And you have rights because under the equal pay laws, women have to be paid the same as a man. So if you don't complain to HR, well, you know, then what's going to happen is if they fire you, you can't prove that your complaint was made. A lot of people make the mistake. They'll tell the boss or they'll tell HR their complaint verbally, but they won't send them an email or a letter requesting an investigation or telling them how they believe they've been treated unfairly. Because if they did that and then they were fired, you could have a claim for retaliation discrimination, which is equally as valuable as if you could prove discrimination in and of itself. I'll give you another example. When you become pregnant, right, if a person becomes pregnant, sometimes they're afraid to tell anyone at the company because they don't want any trouble or whatever. They think it's going to be viewed negatively. But they're in a protected class now. So if they run around and tell everybody and send an email to HR telling them they're pregnant, then, you know, now that they're pregnant, they're in a protected class. So if anything happens to them, they can prove that the company knew about their pregnancy and retaliated against them, which is a violation of the law.
Now, I work in education, and if anybody, any teachers get a bad performance review evaluation, you have the right to either appeal that or ask for someone else, if you can provide a good reason, to do that evaluation. Is that an option that exists in the workplace for most people?
Well, they don't know about it, but that is an excellent point that you raise, and that's something that I'm always advising people to do. If you get a performance review that is subjectively unfair or factually incorrect, okay, or you get, let's say, a performance improvement plan, which is wrong, don't just accept it or don't refuse to sign it. What you should do is write a respectful rebuttal and attach it to the review or the performance improvement plan so you documented your protest. You must do that, and you have to write it nicely, not emotionally, not angry, and, you know, it has to be very, very objective in why it was the comments in there are really wrong. And if you write it a certain way, which, you know, sometimes I work with clients and I help them draft it, I think it's going to go a long way to protecting yourself.
Now, we've heard a lot lately about quiet quitting, but there's also out there in the employment world something known as quiet firing, which, as I understand it, is basically employers just trying to make you so miserable that you quit.
Yeah, they do. We call that in New York, like for teachers, there was a thing they used to be put into like the rubber room, which means that they would like be banging their head against the wall because they were so bored. They would pull them out of a class, and they weren't fired, right? But they were just put into a room every day, and all they had to do was like read or whatever until they couldn't stand it anymore and they left. Never resign from a job, though. It's just poor employee relations if you're a worker. If you resign from a job, you know, you're walking away from unemployment, and which is what the company wants you to do. They want you to resign. Like, let's say, Chris, we have to lay you off, but here, why don't you sign this letter of resignation? And they want you to sign that expecting that, you know, you'll just do it because you think, oh, it's better for me to appear that I resigned, right? But it's wrong. It's no big deal to be fired. You know, it really isn't. I mean, people are fired all the time. So the bottom line is that if you're, you know, being asked to resign, don't take that option. Say to them, you know what? No, I'd rather be fired. We can tell the world that I resigned for personal reasons, but I want to be able to collect unemployment, right? And I want to be able to get that bonus that I worked a full year, right? Because if you resign from a job, you're walking away from those expected financial benefits.
You're right that a job is like a romance, that companies woo you with promises and then don't always follow up and deliver on that. But if you are going to resign, there's a right and a wrong way to do it.
Yeah, and basically what I recommend is, first of all, get your resume out and line up a new job. Then walk into the company and say, look, I'm not happy here. As you know, I've made a complaint in the past about hostile work environment or whatever. I think it's best, since I've done a lot of great things, that we talk about, you know, giving me a separation agreement with a release. I'll sign it. And in exchange for some benefits, I'll walk out after I signed it. A lot of companies, and they don't know that you have a new job lined up. So a lot of companies are willing to do that. And that's the way to get two bites out of the apple.
One of the things that I think would be very helpful to people in this situation that's in the book, Stephen, are all of these sample forms, letters, legal documents, just some great ammunition that people can use to make sure they follow the proper steps.
Thank you. Reviewers are commenting on the same thing. I felt that if a person had these letters at their disposal, like let's say you're fired and you're owed vacation days or you worked overtime and the company's not paying you, I wanted to have in the book sample letters that people can send very easily and quickly so that they could just lay out their claims in a couple of paragraphs and send it, you know, by email or certified mail return receipt requested, so that if the company didn't respond, you could go to the Department of Labor and document a claim because you could show that the company was notified of your dissatisfaction or your complaint and they failed to do anything about it. By the way, in some states, the company's failure to do that is considered willful, and you might get liquidated damages. Let's say in a overtime case, you might be entitled to double damages and attorney's fees by proving that the company was aware of your complaint and did nothing about it.
If you decide that maybe you do need to get some legal help after all, what should be the determining factors in that, and how do you pick the right employment lawyer for your needs?
Excellent question. So first of all, I recommend that, you know, in Maine, people work with labor and employment lawyers. There are not, you know, necessarily that many, but there are. I don't know anything about a bankruptcy or criminal law or real estate. All I do is labor and employment, and really all I do is represent fired people, you know, and negotiate severance packages or sue for breach of contract or discrimination and some overtime and minimum wage violations. So the bottom line is you really want to use someone that practices more than 50% of his or her time in a particular specialty. That's really important. Then the lawyer typically won't screw up. Also, you want to read the person's reviews. I mean, I'm fortunate. I have hundreds of five-star Google, Avvo, and Yahoo reviews. A lot of clients find me online, and they are impressed with the reviews that others have written about me, and they're all unsolicited. And it gives people a better understanding of, is the lawyer honest? Is the lawyer responsive? Does the lawyer try hard? You know, That's very important. Also, when you hire a lawyer in an employment matter, I suggest really considering, if you're the working person, if you're the plaintiff, really considering only paying a contingency fee. A lot of lawyers want an hourly, they want a retainer, they want to take money, and sometimes, you know, they get the money and then they don't do the work or whatever. I like contingency because if I don't get any money for a client or more money for a client, I don't get a fee. So the client's interests and mine are perfectly lined up together, and I think it's a great idea to consider that. Also, if you are being billed, I have sample letters in the book like what a billing statement should look like. You want to get billed there. You know, you want the lawyer to put an entry in, like, telephone conversation with Chris, you know, 505 to 510, 5 minutes. Every single thing the lawyer does, you want to have that, locked out. You don't want it like, oh, you get a bill that says negotiations, review of agreement, 3 hours, you know, with nothing else. Because you want to see every single thing that the lawyer did. So I provided that in the book, and I think you should insist on nothing less.
A great suggestion, too, in the conclusion of the book, I think, that it's a good idea to prepare for the eventuality of getting fired, even if it might be a remote possibility. Keep that resume updated. Talk to people in the industry that you know. And this is great advice. Know the marketplace for your talents.
Sure. And also, save copies of all. So many clients can't find the contract or the offer letter that they originally received. Or, you know, an amendment or a modification to the agreement. And then when they come to me and they say, maybe there was a non-solicit or a confidentiality agreement. They don't remember. They remember signing it, but they don't remember what it says. Well, you know, maybe they signed an agreement waiving their rights to a jury. And it's an arbitration agreement, right? But they don't have it. They didn't save a copy of it. So you really shouldn't. You should save everything. I mean, really maintain a paper trail. Here's one more. A quick idea. You know, I suggest that people maintain a diary, a chronology of things that happen, so that months later when they go to a lawyer and the lawyer is considering suing, let's say, for age discrimination, the person could pull out their diary and say, yeah, on September 21st at 4:30 in my cubicle in the presence of Jim Smith and Sandy Jones, such and such, you know, named my supervisor, said to me that I was lazy because I was getting older and I wasn't working the territory like I used to. In other words, documenting the specific words. You may not be able to introduce that diary into evidence, but you will be able to refresh your recollection and remember exactly what you were told, and that could, you know, make your case much stronger.
Well, it's a great guidebook for any employee to understand your rights out there. Fired, protect your legal rights and fight back. If you're terminated, laid off, downsized, restructured, forced to resign or quit, a wonderful new book from Stephen Mitchell Sack. Stephen, great to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And if people want to reach out to me, there's no charge, and I mean that sincerely, on a quick question. They can call me at 917-371-8000. That's 917-371-8000. If they can't find the book in a bookstore or with a distributor, they can go to legalstratpub.com. If people want to send me an email, they could send it to Stephen Sack, ATTY, at hotmail.com. I will reply. And finally, if they want to find out more about me, they can go to my homepage, which is stephensack.com, or theemployeeslawyer.com.
That's fantastic. Stephen, thank you so much for being with us today.
The pleasure, and thank you for, you know, all the advice and help that you allowed me to get out to your listeners right now.
That's our pleasure. Stephen Mitchell Sack here on Downtown. The book is Fired.